If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. First Samuel 17, starting in verse 20. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Let's pray. Lord, a moment ago we sang about the reality that you are our freedom. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, Jesus said. And yet, Lord, so often we choose to keep the chains on. The key's right there. All we have to do is unlock the chains and let them fall from our feet, from our hands. And we keep them on, Lord. We continue to be slaves to sins over which we could have victory, over which you want us to walk in victory, Lord. So, Father, I pray for all of those gathered in this room today, for all my brothers and sisters in Christ and myself, that we would choose to walk in liberty, Lord. That as your people, we would no longer be slaves. And I pray that we would bring that good news of liberty, of freedom from bondage to others, that they too might share in the life and the joy that you would choose to bring into our lives. If only we would really want it, Lord. If only we would truly want freedom more than the chains. Father, today as we look into your word, help us to understand the strength that's available to us. Help us to understand your power as the God who wants us to walk in freedom. Father, we want to pray also for the people of Ukraine that they might continue to walk in freedom, Lord, that you would frustrate the plans of Vladimir Putin to bring them into subjugation to Russia. We pray, Father, that you would give wisdom to Ukraine's political and military leaders, that you would frustrate the plans of the Russian leaders, Lord, that you would drive back those who are attempting to bring oppression instead of freedom. And we especially pray, Father, for the minimization of the loss of life on both sides in this war, Lord. We pray for your protection over those Ukrainian guys who've been with us in previous years. For Maxim, for Andrew, Nikita, Little Choma, Big Choma, Yarik, Archom, and Paul, Lord. Protect them, provide for them as well as their families. And provide for us now, Lord, from your word. Feed us, Heavenly Father. Set a guard over my lips that I would speak those things that are right and true. Be exalted among us today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to understand why David was a man after God's own heart, then you have to understand the passion for God and the faith in God that beat in the breast of this young man. He's only a boy, we're told in this passage, actually a teenager, the Hebrew indicates. And yet the courage that he shows, the faith that he shows, puts to shame most of the men in Israel. A courage and a faith that even puts to shame the king of Israel, King Saul. Because no one is willing to face the giant Goliath. No one is willing to accept this challenge that the Philistine has laid down to the armies of Israel. Yet in this passage, we're told that a boy accepts the challenge. That a teenager steps forward to do what a man should have done. Because in his heart, even though he's only a teenager, in his heart beats the faith of a man. The courage of a man. In his heart was the passion that teenagers often have for life. But the object of that passion wasn't a car or sports or a girl. The object of that passion was God. The passage begins by telling us about the boy David carrying supplies to his brothers who are on the battle lines. The Israelite army is on one side of the valley, the Philistine army is on the other side, and they've been facing each other for weeks now. Neither side has yet attacked. But the Philistines have been attacking psychologically. They have a champion, Goliath, a giant of a man, 9 feet tall. His armor weighs 200 pounds. And every day he takes his stand on a prominence on the Philistine side of the valley, and he bellows out his challenge to the Israelite soldiers. He yells out his challenge for any man of Israel to come and face him one-on-one, and to the victor will go to the spoils. If the Israelite is victorious, then the Philistines will serve the Israelites. But if he's victorious, then Israel must serve the Philistines. Instead of many men dying in battle, let two men face each other. That's the challenge Goliath lays down. The challenge he has laid down day after day after day, and yet every day as he's come to issue his challenge, no Israelite man has stepped forward to accept. For 40 days, in the morning and in the evening, he's issued the challenge, and every day, the morale of Israel has deteriorated a little more. The men of Israel have begun to feel less and less like men with the dawning of every day. The first thing they hear with the rising of the sun is this challenge from Goliath. The last thing they hear as the sun goes down is this challenge from Goliath, a challenge that none of them is willing to accept. That's a situation David finds when he comes to bring supplies to his brother, his brothers. And so after dropping off the supplies, David runs to talk with his brothers and the other soldiers. While he's talking, he hears the Philistines scream out the challenge once more, which is in verses 8 through 10 of chapter 17. Then he, this is Goliath, stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And in the armies of Israel, there's silence. Men's heads bowed, their eyes downcast. And David's amazed. He wonders that there's no man in Israel willing to accept this challenge. Don't they realize who they are? Don't they realize the power of the God they serve? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David exclaims. David's older brother, Eliab, hears David talking with the other soldiers, and he's embarrassed that his younger brother, his baby brother, is talking with such cockiness. And so he comes up to David, and in front of the other men, he begins to taunt him. Verse 28, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you will come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" You can almost see that familiar older brother, younger brother scenario taking place. The older brother embarrassed in front of his friends by his younger brother, and the younger brother not seeing that he's done anything wrong, not understanding why his older brother won't support him. Of course, it's easy to see why Eliab has the perspective he has, as well as the reaction of King Saul later in the passage. Because David is only a boy. He isn't even old enough to serve in the army of Israel, yet he's talking as though he would accept Goliath's challenge if he were in the army. All these battle-tested men of Israel unwilling to accept the challenge, and this teenager is going to accept the challenge? Eliab's embarrassed by all this, that his little brother is speaking with such cockiness. But when King Saul hears about it, he calls for David, and I want you to look in verse 32 at what David says to him. "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him.'" He's talking about Goliath. "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You know, regardless of how realistic you may think David's perspective is here, you have to love him, don't you? He sees there's something that needs to be done, and so he steps forward to do it. And that attitude alone is worthy of admiration. I remember one year when we were having our annual ministry recruitment here at the church, and this was actually many years ago, right after I came to the church, and I was trying to encourage people to step into positions of service where we needed people. And one of those areas happened to be buildings and grounds, which seems to always be an area where we need people. You know who the first person was to turn in the ministry recruitment form that year? It was Josh Coombs, who was only a little fellow at the time, Andrew's brother. But whenever our church workday came, there you'd see little Josh riding on the lawnmower as part of our buildings and grounds team. He was usually one of the first people here. And I've mentioned this story before, and I guess I'll remember it because it really touched my heart. It isn't the attitude of most people. Most people wait for other people to step forward. They see that something needs to be done, they just don't want to be the ones to do it. Proverbs 26:15 reads, The slothful man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. So here's a man who can see there's a problem. But as my pastor once told us in seminary, it doesn't take any real discernment to see that there's a problem. Any idiot can see there are problems. What changes the world are those willing to step forward and do something about them. The guy in this proverb was able to see there was a lion in the streets. He knew that something needed to be done about the lion, but he was a slothful man, the scripture tells us. So he didn't move to do anything about it. That's not what David's like. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage we're looking at today isn't just that David recognizes that something needs to be done. Even a fool can usually see that. David actually steps forward to do something. Of course, King Saul's perspective is the same as that of David's older brother, Eliab. He's skeptical, and he's very upfront with David about his skepticism. Basically, he says, listen, you're only a boy. This man's a warrior. He's been trained as a warrior from his youth. He's huge. He's powerful. But what neither Eliab nor King Saul understand is that David's words are not coming out of David's confidence in David. The kind of cockiness that sometimes accompanies adolescence. David's words are coming out of his experience. They're coming out of what he's seen God do in his own life and who he knows God to be. Look in verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So David's perspective is, if you have God on your side, what else do you need? You guys are Israelites, the chosen people of God. God has promised he would defeat your enemies if you just trust in him. So why are you afraid? I myself have seen his provision. I've been a shepherd, and as a shepherd, I've had to fight off bears and lions, and God has always given me the victory. So how's this Philistine any different from the bears and the lions I've faced? If God can give me victory over bears and lions, then he can give me victory over this giant of a man. And as David speaks with such conviction, King Saul begins to realize that there's more than just cockiness in this young man. He hears the passion in David's voice. He sees the fire in his eyes. And something prompts King Saul to give this teenager a chance. To give this boy an opportunity to do what men have been afraid to do. Saul even offers David the use of his own armor and sword. And David tries them on, but they swallow him up. So David decides he'll simply face Goliath the same way he faced the lion and the bear. His shepherd frock, his sandals, and his sling. He goes down to the river and he chooses 5 stones. He places them in his pouch. And then he begins to advance toward the giant Goliath. And when Goliath sees this boy approaching him, Goliath is furious. How dare the Israelites insult him by sending a boy to do what even men have been afraid to do? Look in verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it get you fired up to listen to his words? To see the boldness of this young man facing a giant? The first thing I ask you to notice from the passage this morning was that David recognized there was a need for someone to take action, so he stepped forward to do it. The second thing I wanted you to notice was that David was able to do this not because of his confidence in himself, but because of his confidence in God. And the third thing I want you to notice is that David won't allow the focus on his weaknesses to undermine the confidence he has in God. You see, if you're depending on God to give you the strength to do whatever you need to do, it doesn't matter what your weaknesses are. Because the victory isn't depending upon your strength. The victory isn't depending upon you. The victory depends upon God's strength. The victory depends upon God. So the fact that David's brother can point to his shortcomings, that King Saul can see his inadequacies, that Goliath disdains his weaknesses, in no way undermines David's confidence in what God has called him to do. David is not depending on his strength to give him the victory. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's where David's confidence rests, not in himself, but in the God who has called him, the God who's helped him to recognize and respond to the challenge. And see, here's where David's faith really shows up, where David's faith sets him apart from most others in the world. Because most of us are only too willing to define ourselves by our weaknesses as a reason for not pursuing our dreams, as a justification for our mediocrity. Remember Moses' reaction when God told him that he wanted to use Moses to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt? Moses offered one excuse after another, one reason after another as to why he wasn't the right person to do it. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? What if the people don't believe me or listen to me? I'm not a good speaker. Finally, after God answers every one of his objections, Moses still cries out, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else, anybody else, Lord." And that's the reaction a lot of people have when there's something to be done. They're so focused on all the reasons why they can't do it that they never look for a way through God to do it. Well, I just didn't get the breaks that other people had. My parents didn't have the money to send me to college. I don't have the time. It's going to take too long. And on the excuses come, one reason after another why it can't be done. That's not where you find David. David knows there's something to be done, so he steps forward to do it. And then he trusts that God will give him the strength to do it. And he won't allow anyone, not his brother, not King Saul, not Goliath, not anyone to convince him that he won't be able to do it. And I think you know the rest of the story. But let's go ahead and look at what happened. Verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran forward toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. So who are you going to be? The man, the slothful man who cries out, there's a lion in the street, a fierce lion in the street. Or are you going to be like David, who actually has the faith to step forward and do something about it? Let's pray.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.